Welcome to another segment of the Community Media's Open House. I'm Janice Banker, Development Director at YWCA Hanover, and I'm the host of this episode of Open House. Today we have with us Sarah Harvey, YWCA Hanover's Safe Home Director. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you for having me, Janice.
Thank you. Well, I want to start off, of course, we both work for the YWCA, which is a wonderful agency in the Hanover community. And one of the services that YWCA Hanover offers is the Safe Home program. Tell me, what is Safe Home?
So Safe Home is a 24/7 victim and survivors of domestic violence service provider. So we offer a lot of crucial services for anyone who has been impacted by domestic violence, including a 24-hour hotline, a lot of case management services, so making sure people have the things that they need to survive. We offer legal advocacy, support groups, pantry services, and just a whole host of things to make sure that survivors and victims of domestic violence can move forward after anything that's happened to them.
Wow, that's really impressive. And this is offered to anybody in the Hanover community. But what if I live, I live out in Aspers, or I live, there's a lot of communities around here that are hard to get to, and I don't drive, and I want to flee a situation, but I can't leave. I got my kids, and I got my dog.
Absolutely. We help people in that similar situation all the time. We serve all of Adams County, so anywhere in Adams County and the greater Hanover area. We do also offer transportation services, so even if someone can't get into our office, we can go pick them up just to make sure that they have a way to get where they need to go. And then we do also offer a safe pet program, so if someone is fleeing and they do decide to leave and they need to find shelter, or they enter into a housing program and maybe they can't take their pet with them, we do have local partners with the SPCAs in the area so that we can make sure those pets have a safe place to go as well.
That's really important, because when you think about it, I know I've heard it where people say that, they won't leave because, they're afraid, they can't leave those animals, or where am I going to go? I have five children, how am I going to do that, So you have all those answers. And then, I can't afford those court costs. That's another thing, too. And they're worried about, how am I going to get to court? I'm going to come to you. But then, how am I going to get to court? Who's going to help me with all these things? There's so many struggles, Sarah.
Absolutely. And that's when I mentioned case management. I couldn't even begin to cover all of the things that we do that we consider case management, but really, to water it down, it's coming up with a plan. So coming up with a plan together to meet that survivor's needs, so that whatever it is that is preventing them from leaving a situation, or maybe they've already left and they're still trying to figure out the next steps, we can sit down and come up with a plan together that meets their needs to make sure that they can be successful.
And who's going to do this plan? Are these people, who am I talking to?
So we have a wonderful team of trained advocates. Everyone has completed all of their training, and this is what they do for a living. So we have advocates who do this day in and day out, and they are available 24/7. So it doesn't matter what time, day or night. But our staff is available. I'm probably biased, but my team is pretty great, and I know that they are well-equipped to help our community.
I definitely know that your team is great, and they are definitely dedicated to helping this community. So, yes, I am biased, but yeah. But I do see their hearts and the extra lengths that they go to provide the services. And when you talk about that case management, I do want to elaborate a little bit more on that, because I do know the structure that goes into that and the training, because there's people that provide services in our community, and I'm not, downing any of those. I applaud everybody that supports victims, but I do want to talk a little bit more about what your advocates do. How long does it take to be an advocate?
So, there's a lot that goes into it. The bare minimum is 45 hours.
Okay.
And that mandate actually comes from the state. It's part of the PFA statute, so the Protection from Abuse Order statute, that allows for domestic violence advocates to have confidentiality. So it's similar
important.
To if you would be seeking services from an attorney, that attorney would not be able to, use what you say against you. And that is very similar, not the exact same, but that is a close parallel that we can compare mm-hmm. the level of confidentiality that domestic violence advocates have. Mm-hmm. So when our clients are coming in and telling us things, we cannot repeat those to anyone for any reason, with the exception of child abuse. We are mandated reporters, of course, because we want to protect the vulnerable children. But otherwise, everything our clients tell us is confidential. So we start out with that 45 hours just as the bare minimum. And wow. then we have, I would say, at least another probably 100 hours of shadowing, other trainings. We take a lot of training regarding cultural competency, a lot of training regarding confidentiality, the local laws, and just witnessing other trained advocates provide services so that we can make sure that our services are trauma-informed and that when someone's coming to us, we know how to handle the situation appropriately.
Well, that's very impressive, and I can see why YWCA Hanover Safe Home definitely is a place that a victim can feel safe and confident that whatever they do or say to an advocate will stay there.
Absolutely.
And they can and continue with this process and be on their path to a successful future. Wow, I applaud you guys for the work you do.
Thank you.
I think that when we think about how scary it must be for a victim, what about when they go to court, when they go to get that protection order? What does that look like? Do you guys go with them?
We absolutely do. And it does vary from county to county because okay. we serve two counties. It looks a little different. But generally speaking, if someone is in need of a protection order, okay. they start in our office. So they don't even have to worry about going to wow. the scary courthouse first. They come into our office. Uh-huh. They complete the paperwork with our trained advocates. Yeah. We help prepare them, explain what they might see or experience in court, and then we do go along with them. We help them file the paperwork. We make sure that they aren't charged for those filing fees. We accompany them to the hearing. We help prepare them by making referrals to local attorneys, and then we actually go back for the final hearing as well. So we are with them throughout the entire process.
That is fantastic, and I'm assuming that, like, if they needed assistance with, like, gas to get to and from places, you're assisting them with that?
Absolutely.
I know that with the children, there's a lot that goes into that, and I'm thinking that you might be able to tell me a little bit what happens there because these children have seen a lot.
Absolutely. That is something we run into a lot. And we have local partnerships as well, of course.
Oh,
we
great.
Don't pretend to know everything and be everything. Uh-huh. So there are times when we can make referrals if a child has witnessed or experienced something themselves to maybe someone who specializes in children. But we absolutely do still provide services to children and their family members. So whether that is counseling, getting them uh-huh. Connected to a licensed therapist,
right.
You know, just whatever it may be, we absolutely make sure that the children's needs are being met in addition to the parent or the family.
Wonderful. What about if somebody, you know, you think about people that see things. I saw an example, a grandparent witnessing a granddaughter who's living with them and the granddaughter's boyfriend and a domestic violence type situation in the household, and the grandparents need somebody to talk to. What do I do?
Absolutely. We do serve anyone impacted, so witnessing okay. domestic violence you know, could absolutely qualify someone for our okay. services. And again, the services might look a little different just because someone
right.
witnessing domestic violence probably has different needs
mm-hmm.
than someone who has experienced
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But whether that's, again, with us or with a community partner, we absolutely will get people into our office, talk to them, assess their needs, and make sure that they have what they need.
And that's that number that you mentioned, right? That you can call. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't matter whether it's Christmas, Easter, or what day of the week it is.
Absolutely.
There is an advocate there, ready to help and able to assist in whatever way they can.
Absolutely. And that number is 717-632-0007. 24/7, 365.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have multiple staff members on call every single day of the year to make sure that we can meet the needs of the community.
Yep. And one of the things with Safe Home, I know that you like to see, Sarah, is the opportunity to be seen. And I know, like when I was at recently, I was at Gettysburg Hospital, and I saw in the bathroom stalls, I saw the little tear off tabs. Are those available? Can anybody get those type of things?
Absolutely. I think that getting the word out about our services is one of the most important things that I do as director, because we have staff, you know, available to serve clients, but we have to make sure those clients know how to reach us. So any community partner interested in having our information available, we have all sorts of posters, business cards, brochures, anything you could imagine, so that you can have that in a space where someone who needs it might be able to find it.
And you serve the entire community. There's no bias at YWCA, is there?
Absolutely. We serve anyone regardless of gender, sex, race, income status. All of our services are free, so a lot of people might be hesitant to seek out our services because of their income, but that doesn't matter at Safe Home.
That is correct. And that's really important, because I think some people feel like, or maybe their abuser tells them that you can't get those services because we make too much money. And that's not true.
Absolutely.
That is not true. We are here to serve. And the team at YWCA Hanover Safe Home, again, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you call that phone number and there is somebody there to help you. There's also, you know, what about services such as, you know, I've left, but where are we going to go? Where are you going to put me?
Absolutely. That's probably one of the most important services that we offer, is our housing programs.
Yeah.
We have quite a few housing programs, and it does depend on everyone's situation as to which one we might encourage them to apply to. But we do offer rental assistance and emergency shelter. So whether it's I need somewhere to go right now, or I'm making a plan to leave in a month and I need to figure out what that looks like. So we have housing programs to fit every situation.
I love how you talk about that plan, because I feel like if I was a victim, I would need a plan.
Absolutely. It's really scary, and a lot of people aren't aware that leaving an abusive relationship is the most dangerous time. That is when most, that's when a lot of safety concerns can arise.
Right.
In terms of even homicide, like, it can get really serious when trying to leave a domestically violent relationship. So coming up with a plan is absolutely crucial for a lot of our clients, because we want to make sure that leaving is safe for them.
So making that plan is vital. So if this is a situation that somebody is in, or if they know of somebody, the suggestion would be to contact Safe Home, talk to an advocate, and it can be done discreetly. It also, if you go to our website, let's talk a little bit about www.ywcahanover.org. And when you go to our website and you click on the on the tab that says Safe Home, there's also a place you can click that gets you out of there too, right?
Absolutely. We call it a safety exit.
Okay.
Because we know that a lot of abusers these days use technology to abuse or track their victims.
Yep.
So we absolutely do have a quick exit tab that can get them out of our website quickly. People do need to be aware that doesn't necessarily mean it won't show up in your history, but if they're looking over your shoulder, it might, you know, get you a few minutes until you can delete it from your history.
Yeah.
But there are also ways around that. So we serve people who, whether they've left the relationship yet or not, and we do actually, you know, have ways that we can communicate with our clients discreetly so that their abuser isn't aware.
Right. It's so important. It's so scary. And, you know, I know that when you talk about the safety factor in this and having that plan, I know that you're professional advocates and things that you follow suit in what is necessary to keep your victims safe.
Absolutely.
And their families. And we appreciate that. Thank you for the work that you do. I want to mention, too, when you think about Safe Home and how you function, you're a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
What are your needs? How can people, if they are watching this and they want to, you know, like, I know somebody. Everybody knows somebody, probably.
Absolutely.
Right? Everybody knows somebody. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it. I've had people say to me, you know, Janice, when you do a great job at YWCA, but you really should talk about the child care side of things and really kind of stay away from that domestic violence things, those abusers, because people just really kind of don't want to talk about that. Well, you know what? We do want to talk about that, and we want to talk about it loudly because it's important to our community that we talk about it, because abuse is not okay, and it's something that we have to do something about. We have to protect these people.
Absolutely.
And so when we look at that, we want to think about how we can support this nonprofit and support Safe Home. And when I say that, I want to mention, too, the amount of service area that you provide, okay? Let's kind of dive into that real quick. What does that look like?
So as I mentioned, the entirety of Adams County,
which is huge.
Yes, very large. We have an office in downtown Gettysburg, which we kind of work out of to make sure the entire county's needs are met. And then we serve the greater Hanover area. We are lucky in that we have another service provider in York County, but still, a lot of people, especially in the more rural parts of York County, know that traveling to York is not always an option, whether that's because of transportation or just because the needs in a city are different than the needs of a rural community.
Absolutely.
So we are serving a very large area out of two separate offices, and you know, that takes resources to be able to do that.
It sure does. And with those resources, I'm sure you have grants, you have the government funding, but as I know, as Director of Development for YWCA Hanover, those grants and that government funding does not cover a lot of the gamut of the things that these victims need.
Absolutely. It covers the basics, and it allows us to provide the services, but it's not really an all-encompassing solution. There are a lot of needs that cannot be met with grant funding.
Yeah. So one of the, on the website, ywcahanover.org, if you go to the Safe Home tab, you'll see that there is a grocery list that Sarah updates as with gift cards and things that the victims of domestic violence need. So those items are available, and she updates those often. If you ever have any questions as far as what those needs are, you can reach out to Sarah directly.
Yep.
I'm sure there's a link on there that they can reach out to you.
Yes, there's a contact us form on the website, and on the support Safe Home tab, there is a list of our pantry needs. Those are usually things like non-perishables. We do keep a pantry so that if someone needs food or any personal care items, we have them on hand, because we know that leaving can leave people with limited finances for a lot of different reasons. So we like to have things on hand to make sure that, you know, they have a toothbrush or their kids have blankets or, you know, whatever it is the need. We do also have an Amazon wish list that's linked right on the website. A lot of people prefer that. I know I shop on Amazon so that, you know, you can go on and buy it and it ships right to us. You don't have to worry about dropping it off. That always makes things easy. And then, like you mentioned, gift cards are always huge. One of the things that our grants don't currently pay for is gas money. So if we do have someone who needs to get to or from, you know, for an appointment or to our office or to a shelter, we typically use donated gift cards for gas money, things of that nature. And then a volunteer with us tab. That is really a huge need right now. We are in desperate need of volunteers. We have a great team of paid staff members, but they can't do it all. So we do rely on volunteers to help us increase our reach and really make sure we're serving as many people as we can.
And when you talk about volunteers, so I'm sure that to be a volunteer, it's got to be a fulfilling opportunity. I would think that if I was somebody that in the community that had the opportunity, had the time, I know just being a part of the YWCA team, you know, I've been with them for 3 years, and I can't say enough about being a part of the team. It's very fulfilling for me. So to be a volunteer in the community, if you're interested in that, Sarah, what does that look like? What do we need to do to be a volunteer?
Sure. So the easiest way, like I said, on the website, on the Safe Home tab, there's a volunteer with Safe Home little subsection. You can complete the application. We have a brief, really informal interview just to make sure you kind of know what you're getting yourself into, because it is a hard job. It's very heavy. You hear a lot of difficult things, and we want to make sure people are aware of what they might encounter. And then they are required to go through some training as well, just like our staff members, but that's really just to make sure our victims, survivors, and clients are getting the services that they
Absolutely.
Deserve.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, I hear from all of our volunteers how fulfilling it is and how meaningful it is to be able to make a difference in the lives of someone else.
Absolutely. I know I've met with a couple of people that have been interested in volunteering for Safe Home, and the spirit and the passion that they feel to possibly be able to do this is so beautiful. You know, it's just so beautiful to know that they want to give back in such
Absolutely.
A beautiful way. I also, you know, one of the things I know our partnership or Safe Home's partnership in the community, excuse me, Safe Home's partnership in the community is so valuable, and we're so respected in the community, especially with our local law enforcement. Tell me a little bit about what that looks like, how you partner with them.
So we are incredibly thankful for all of our local law enforcement organizations. The biggest way that we partner with them is really by receiving referrals. Mm-hmm. We have a very specific tool that law enforcement uses called the Lethality Assessment Protocol, which is simply put a set of 11 questions that they'll ask on the scene of a domestic violence incident. And it was based on a study done out of Johns Hopkins University in which they found that the vast majority of people who were ultimately killed by their abuser had not connected to a victim service provider, but had connected to law enforcement. So we needed to figure out a way that we could get those victims mm-hmm. in contact with a victim service provider before it was too late. And so they came up with those 11 questions. And now it's pretty widespread across the nation. It's used very widely. They'll ask the questions, and if someone screens in, they will call our hotline on site. They don't
That's
wait.
Fantastic.
They don't, you know, just hand someone a card and say good luck. Our law enforcement partners mm-hmm. Really get to be hands-on and make that referral in live time. A lot of times they're using their own personal cell phones to let the victims call us so that they can
fantastic.
Be absolutely so that they can be connected to the services.
Oh my gosh, that is that's so hard. That's just wonderful. And you know, what a blessing to our community, and thank you to our law enforcement.
Absolutely. We couldn't do it without them.
Yeah. When I think about the statistics, can you tell me a little bit about our statistics? You know, we're new into 2024. What did 2023 look like?
Sure. So I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I know we served more than 16.
Oh, we had an interruption there. Go ahead.
I know that we served more than 1,600 clients in uh-huh. 2023, which is pretty big. We see
yeah.
an increase year after year. It's unfortunate, but the numbers aren't going down.
Yeah.
We did, you know, over 200 transports, so making sure that people had access to get where they needed to go uh-huh. related to their victimization, hundreds of PFAs. I mean, the numbers are staggering, uh-huh. so it is... it's definitely a need within our community.
Wow. And is it 1 in 4?
So that has widely been the statistic, and
okay.
that's an older study.
Okay.
Newer studies seem to think it's 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men.
Wow.
So still some research
yeah.
to be done, but it uh-huh. does seem, again, that the numbers aren't going down. They're going up.
Unfortunate. Yes, very unfortunate. Wow. And whenever our community, we have a very diverse community, and with the orchards up in Adams County, what do you do about that when you have a large Spanish-speaking population?
Sure. So we do have one advocate currently who is Spanish-speaking. So that is like the most common language other than English that we mm-hmm. see. So we try to keep someone on staff who can speak in Spanish, because we know that people receiving services in their native language mm-hmm. are going to see just better services and feel more welcome than having to use a translation service. So while it's not ideal, we do also have a translation service. We have a partnership with a translation service that's very well, that goes very well. We can do, I think, over 100 languages. It's
wow.
something,
yeah.
it's something very high. So regardless
yeah.
of their native language, they can come in and talk to us, and it might be with a translator, but our translators are fantastic. And they also are confidential. So it's not like they
very
can go
important.
Out and
yeah.
repeat.
Yeah, that's very important as well. Oh my gosh, so important the work that you do. One other thing I wanted to kind of dive into too is human trafficking, which we are a part of the PATH 15 program. Mm-hmm. And I know that some people don't understand human trafficking and they don't understand how that could possibly be in our community. Really?
Absolutely.
You know, so, but it is in our community and prevalent. So would you mind telling us a little bit about that?
Sure. So a lot of people think that human trafficking is taking someone, you know, from an airport or somewhere and transporting them to another country. And while that can be a form of human trafficking, and it does happen that way sometimes, there's also a much less talked about form of trafficking, and it is both sex and labor, and it's happening here in our communities. Yeah. It can be, you know, indentured servitude. It can be forcing people to do things for money, and that can include sexual acts, or forcing them to work with the promise of helping them get their documents, which we know is just a trafficker manipulating the situation.
Absolutely.
To get free labor. So it's not always this, you know, big kidnapping that occurs and they're moved to another country and they're forced to use drugs. It does happen like that,
yeah.
But there is also human trafficking happening here. And most people, unfortunately, are trafficked by someone that they know. So whether that be an intimate partner or a family member, not some stranger who's taking them from the streets.
Absolutely. And when we think about human trafficking and who provides the services for human trafficking in this community, YWCA Hanover provides a large portion of that. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We serve currently three counties in a partnership with YWCA Harrisburg and some other victim service provider organizations. Mm-hmm. So we can serve anyone who has experienced trafficking. And again, it is part of a larger partnership where even if we don't have the resources in-house, we have partnerships through this grant that we can refer them to and make sure that wherever they are in the state, they can get the services that they need.
That's wonderful. When you think about a victim of domestic violence, while I don't want to in any way discredit the value of what they've been through in any level at all, that's not my intention. But when you think about a victim of human trafficking, oftentimes their level of trauma is at a different level, correct?
Absolutely. It's very hard to compare the two just because they are so different.
Okay.
And what a lot of service providers, ourselves included, are seeing, especially with human trafficking, is that the trauma is happening sometimes, not always, but at a much higher frequency. Mm-hmm. So that can create just levels of complex trauma that someone might need to work through if they did experience human trafficking.
Gotcha. So when I think about the funding again, when I go back to the funding and we think about, I've talked to some other nonprofits in the area, and again, as a nonprofit, you have to look at the funding, you know. And while we do have grants and other opportunities, when you think about these victims, as you mentioned, a lot of these services that they need, that those grants won't help them with some of those needs. There's, mm-hmm. there's, like you talked about, the gas cards and the different services and things that those monies won't support. I'm proud to be able to help you with the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, which is on August 9th this year, Friday, August 9th. And that is the only fundraising event that is specifically, every dollar that's raised goes to the victims of Safe Home and the domestic violence and human trafficking services that they offer, Sarah and her team over there. So I encourage everybody, if you have the opportunity to volunteer, to form a team, to raise money. It's with every passion in my heart.
Absolutely,
know?
And it's a fun time, so
yes.
It's worth coming out. Obviously, we're raising money for a very serious subject, but that doesn't necessarily mean that
yeah.
we can't have a smile on our face while doing it. So it is just an incredible event. I think this will be my fifth year attending, and I have a fun every time. It's a family event,
oh, yeah.
So again, a great way to have these conversations with your loved ones, because again, if it's one in three women who have experienced
yeah.
it, I guarantee that someone you know has. So this is a great way to just show that you support
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm. And again, so we have Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. The website, you can go to www.ywcahanover.org, and you can visit the Safe Home page, and then there's an opportunity for you to give there. There's a donate now. You're welcome to, you know, if you just want to make a donation, and you can write in the memo tab to Safe Home, and we'll make sure the funds go there. Volunteer, you know, there's a volunteer opportunity available. Fill out the information that Sarah mentioned before. She's, you know, grateful, and to be a part of that team is just a blessing. So anyway, is there anything else that you would like to say that just expresses the value of the work that you do for Safe Home?
I mean, I think I wish I could sum it up, but really this work is so important to me. I've been doing it for 10 years, and just the impact I've seen. Like, I told myself when I started, like, if I help one person, that's a success to me. And, you know, it's more than one person.
Right.
Our team helps thousands of victims mm-hmm. each year.
Yeah.
And that is so important. I feel so proud of my team. I could not do it without them. I thank each and every one of them every single day. And that includes our volunteers and even our greater team at the Y, because we couldn't do it without the support.
Yeah.
Like, it's a team effort for sure. And I know I've seen firsthand the impact we've had in the community, and I'm so proud.
We have a wonderful community, and, you know, again, we welcome, you know, I think it's important that, you know, more of Adams County jumps in and knows that, you know, Safe Home, you know, who provides those services in your community, and you're so large. Again, Give Local York is getting ready to come up. We're a part of that. We welcome you to support us in that. The Community Give, Adams County Giving Spree. We're a part of that. That's always a really good time. We enjoy being a part of that. Again, YWCA Hanover Safe Home, Sarah Harvey, thank you so much for being a part of this segment, and thank you for the work you and your team does.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you.